the 402.
Welcome to the Nebraska Hawks Nest. These guys are brave. They're Hawkeyes living in enemy territory. Listen, these guys are way past their prime, but they're still Hawkeyes. They're spreading the Hawkeye hype to all of Nebraska. The Frost Advisory is canceled. Cornhusker? More like Corn Sucker. Are you ready for this podcast? Let's go, Hawks!
All right, welcome back to the Nebraska Hawks Nest, your Hawkeye oasis located in the Nebraska desert. We got the man, the future legend, in our opinion, Iowa Hawkeye football tight end commit, Michael Burt. Welcome to the podcast, sir. We are excited to have you.
Welcome, Absolutely. Michael. Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
All right, man. Well, you're in the midst of your season right now, and you guys are trucking along there at Creighton Prep. And we wanted to pull you out of here real quick just to talk to you, to give Hawkeye fans just a little bit of taste of, you know, the incoming guy, the personality, the player that you are. Hawkeye fans, as you have started to learn, are very loyal, passionate fans. So we want to get to know you a little bit. And for those of you guys that are on the live stream now, I know there'll be more people hopping on throughout. Go ahead and submit any questions you have for Michael, and we'll try to get as many of them as possible. All right, Michael, now tell us about growing up, the commitment that you put in. There's, you know, going to be some younger football players that are maybe in middle school and just getting into high school that are really shooting and aiming to be in a position like that you're in right now. Tell us about the commitment and the work and what you really had to do to get yourself at the level that you're at right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say the biggest thing is to stay consistent. You know, there's a lot of kids that, you know, are really good at a young age, and I think, you know, they can play at a high level at a young age, but, you know, the people who really make it to the top once you get older is just the people who stay consistent and not really depend on your talents and kind of work hard to develop some more skills. So I'd say consistency is the biggest thing, at least it was for me, and always be open to what you're good at, because football was not always my gig growing up. So, but once I kind of realized, you know, I was going to, you know, I had some potential in it, I kind of opened up to it. So stay consistent, be open to what you're talented at, and continue from there. So,
all right. You know. And Kyle kind of mentioned earlier before we came on asking about, you had offers from Nebraska and Illinois as well. I think I saw Eastern Michigan. Walk us through your recruitment process, who you got offers from, and how you narrowed down your choice and what really set Iowa apart for you.
Yeah, so I got my first offer from Northern Illinois back in March. That was really just kind of based on film from my junior season. And I kind of racked up a few others just kind of based on the film and from meeting me in person and stuff like that, from them visiting my school. But I knew that if I wanted to get some Power Fives going, I had to go to some camps. So I went to a few camps, went to the Lindenwood Mega Camp. Coach Hodge was there from Iowa. Okay. We'd already kind of had a relationship going. We'd known each other for a bit up until then. And they was actually planning to go to the Nebraska camp 2 days after that. But I talked to Coach Hodge and Coach LeVar Woods, and you know, I was like, you know what, I was kind of, you know, maybe recruiting me a little harder. They haven't offered me yet, but you know, I think they're a little closer than Nebraska. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go to the Iowa camp on Sunday instead. So 2 days later, I switched it up, went to Iowa, and got the offer there. So
awesome.
Yep. So Iowa was my first Power Five. Well, it didn't surprise me that they were my first Power Five. They were kind of leading the way in terms of their interest in me. And, you know, once that happened, I knew I was going to get a few others after that one. So I got a few others. I visited, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota. I took an unofficial visit there. But Iowa really set apart just because of, you know, their development, their culture, and they've proven that they can win. So they definitely set themselves apart from there.
Did you have a lot of local pressure from like classmates and from family that were Husker fans? Did you get a lot of nudges to, you know, be a Husker?
It's funny, I still do. technically haven't signed yet, but there's it's 100% commitment. It's funny. I almost enjoy it, but I hate it at the same time. My cousin is actually a basketball player from Nebraska. He's a walk-on sophomore, actually a freshman. So once I chose Iowa, I kind of got some grief from that. But heading in, they knew that, you know, my entire kind of family, they've been Huskers. And so they, you know, they're like, you know what, we'd root for you no matter what, obviously. But they knew that Iowa was probably going to be the better option for me after taking those visits. And luckily I agreed with them. And so, you know, it was pressure here and there, but I knew that I was going to get support no matter what. So it wasn't too hard.
Matt and Kyle, you push me out of the way anytime. You guys got any questions for Michael? You just jump in.
We'll ask when they are tie-in.
When they push in. Okay. So, like you said, you got a little bit of pressure and gotten, you know, a little, you know, I don't want to say getting crap from people, but, you know, getting teased a little bit and stuff like that. But, you know, you're following a tight end lineage there where it's essentially tight end you. So, in our opinion, it's the most elite tight end legacy in college football. So tell us what it feels like to you to be joining that lineage of guys like Sam Laporta, TJ Hawkinson, Dallas Clark, and George Kittle.
Yeah, I mean, it's an honor. I'm glad, you know, that I'm getting this opportunity because in the end, ultimately, it's to play at the highest level I can. And I know that Iowa will certainly help me do that. And so that's one of the reasons I chose Iowa. There's definitely many more, but to play in the same uniform as those people, it's an honor, and I know how high the bar is set. So it's a good goal to accomplish what they accomplished at Iowa.
Yeah. Michael, who are you most excited to learn from in that tight end room? Have you met any of the guys yet?
Yeah. You know, fortunately with Luke and his ankle history,
I'm
pretty close with Luke. He was my player host when I visited there. We've talked ever since. So he's a fantastic guy. I love Luke. Just hopefully he'll be okay. But definitely Luke, Addison Ostranga I've talked to a little bit, and Steven Stylianos I've talked to as well.
This guy's just played a big part in the win.
Yesterday.
No, they really did. That's great to hear that you got a really good relationship with guys like Luke. I mean, he just always has seemed like he's such a great guy and such a great representative of being a Hawkeye football player is all about. And just some of the answers you've already had about consistency and things like that is very Hawkeye. Like it's already, it's like, okay, either they've started to rub off on you a little bit or you're just cut from the same cloth as what we look for in a Hawkeye. So that's pretty awesome.
That's recruiting. That's what they go for in their recruiting. They see that kid, that they're the consistency that they show, and then they go after them. So, you know, just getting that recruitment, you're already there. So.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, Michael, I'm going to lay this out for you, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a college football coach right now. I'm looking at a group of tight ends, and I'm looking over to you. What's going to set you apart if I bring you into my program from the other recruits I'm looking at?
Well, sound like a broken record again, but I think it's consistency. Sorry. No. I think it's my consistency in blocking and my ability to make plays when I need to. And luckily at Iowa, I have the opportunity to make a lot of plays. So that would be fun. I'm looking forward to it. But I'd say just my consistency and just doing my job and blocking and I think you can rely on me to make the lead block in a run. And then I think you can also rely on me to make a great pass in the middle or wherever. I think, when people ask me over the summer, you know, what my greatest attribute is as a tight end. I said my versatility. I think I'm at a good size and I have good leverage and technique to block. And I also think I'm fast enough and run good routes and have good hands to catch. So without saying too much about myself, I think my versatility is kind of the greatest standout as a tight end.
All right. Wes, that's a great answer. You got to talk yourself up a little bit. I mean, yeah. You wouldn't be the player that you are if you didn't have some confidence. But the time that you spent in Iowa City, tell us what were some of your favorite things about Iowa City, maybe a place to get something to eat or just a really cool part of the city. What was something that really stood out about Iowa City to you?
I like how the town blends in with the campus. You just kind of feel, you know, how the town blends in. And I think it's a great city to be in just because of that. I think that kind of stood out to me. And the people around you, I mean, the fan base is amazing. I grew up in a different fan base here in Nebraska, but it stands out at Iowa. No negativity to anyone else, but like, it just seems like everyone has your back. You know, Iowa football is just kind of the main thing that goes on around you. You can just feel the vibe. So I think because it's a college town, I think that rubs off on the whole city, just kind of the Iowa fan base. And then the food was great on campus. Can't really recall many of the names of the restaurants we went to. We had went to so many, but I mean, the food's amazing. And it's definitely did not disappoint. But I just think the way the town blends in with the campus.
They have a lot of good places there. Like, it's endless. Yeah. Every time you think you've been to a mall, you find another little gem hidden there. It's just, Iowa City's awesome. Yeah. I've been to a lot of college towns and it's just very different. So yeah. I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. I want to ask you about, think ahead to the next year and the coming years, and you step into the Heroes game, the Iowa-Nebraska rivalry, and you're getting ready for that game. Tell us about some of the emotions that you're going to have going into that, where, you know, you grew up in Nebraska, and, you know, let's be honest, you probably were a Husker fan growing up and got a lot of family that's Husker fans, but, you know, you're making the transition to the better side, the black and gold side, and we're welcoming you with open arms, man. We're happy to have you, but we want to really walk through those emotions on that game day, because let's be honest, you know, the Iowa way, it's like you want to stay consistent, like you said, and every game you want to approach it like a professional. That game's going to mean a little bit more for you, and I think that's fair. Walk us through what your emotions might, if you can anticipate, would be like on that day for you.
Yeah, well, one example of that, I knew that Luke Lachey's dad was a big Ohio State Buckeye, so it's going to be,
yep.
You know, I don't have any really that close relations to Nebraska as Luke does to Ohio State, but it's certainly still going to be, the emotions are going to be high, because I just know that it's so many relatives and friends that, you know, are going to, you know, they're part of the Big Red, but, you know, it's going to be really great to be on the other side, and I'm like really looking forward to it, and honestly don't even really know what to expect yet. Because I'm on the better side now, and I don't, you know, I'm already looking forward to it. Like, I cannot wait. I can't wait to go to the game this year, just kind of feel that vibe this year, and just kind of, once I put on the pads next year, it's obviously going to be a little bit, how do I say this, not higher stakes, but, you know, I'll be looking forward to that. I'll circle that one on the calendar. I can't wait for it. I don't even really know what to expect, but.
Yeah.
I do know that I'll have support no matter what, but I've already heard from some people that they'll cheer for me, but not the team, which honestly didn't really make me very happy. But I'm excited to prove them wrong and just win no matter what. So
we got a question from a fan. Lucas Lee wants to know if Nebraska actually has a true sellout or if it's fake. I know, yeah. You can choose not to answer that if you don't want to. It's totally okay.
I'll answer it. It's technically real, but there's a lot of people that just kind of buy the tickets and either just don't go to the game and just buy them to keep that or sell them. But there's a lot of people that help out to keep it. So technically, statistically, you can say that they've sold out this many games in a row.
Yeah.
But it's near a full stadium every time, very, very close to it, but it's not consistently 100% full. So when they say they've had that many sellouts and I go to a game and 90% of the stadium's full. When I was a little kid, I thought a sellout was 100%. So technically, yes, but
yeah,
just people help out with it.
You know, I compare it to, you know, if you have a restaurant and, you know, you have, you know, they're half the restaurant's full, but, you know, you have a couple diehard people that love your restaurant and they come in and they buy up all your food.
Yeah.
And just to make it look like you're, you know, sold all the food. I don't know if they really, you know, truly booked up, but Ari Gold said you've chosen wisely. So he wanted you to know that. So
thank you.
And yep. So Lucas also says that's a true answer. So now we know. So. All right. Those of us that live here in Nebraska know that, you know, we know about it. So we're going to get down to what we're going to call this segment's called Open Mic with Michael Burke. All right, Burke. All right. We're going to ask you some questions just to get to know you personally. And again, Kyle and Matt, if there's anything that sounds like something you want to ask, just slam your way on in and ask it. Okay. All right, Michael, this is some serious stuff, man. Are you ready?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. All right, get ready. If you could eat only one fast food the rest of your life, what would it be?
I'll try to make this quick. Does Chipotle count?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Chipotle.
What are you getting at Chipotle?
I mix it up, but I'll either get chicken or steak or chicken and steak.
Okay.
And then I always get the white rice and black bean, and then I'll load it up on the back end with like sour cream, corn, cheese, and lettuce. I kind of get it all.
Attaboy. Sounds like my order. I do the bowl though, because I'm an old man and I don't handle the carbs as well. So you keep eating those carbs though.
I will.
All right. We're looking ahead hypothetically. Okay. All things go right. You work your tail off. We have a great career at Iowa. This is what we're all anticipating. You get drafted. Okay. You sign that contract. You're in the league now. What's the most ridiculous, frivolous first thing that you're going to buy?
Oh man, that's a good question.
Just something like, hey man, I'm going to get something I want to get that I don't need, but I want to get it just because it's fun.
I'm going to put in an ice skating rink in my house.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the best answer we've gotten yet. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Are you a hockey fan or?
No, but I love skating.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Very cool. I mean, that's like no one's ever going to leave the house. I mean, you have that in there. Yeah. Like, that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
A pool is one thing, but I think an ice rink is another thing.
That's next level.
Yeah.
That's next level baller. Okay. Now this happens. Okay. We're taking to the next step of this question. What type of vehicle are you going to buy?
Oh gosh. I mean, I'm not a huge car. I don't know that many cars, but, I would probably get some type of sporting Corvette or Ferrari or something. I can't use a Ferrari every day, but a Ferrari, and then I'll have the Ferrari to back it up, and then some type of, I don't know what model. I'm not big into models, but some type of cool sports car. Cool sports car.
Yeah. All right. See, that's good. You got to buy the frivolous thing that you wouldn't have normally bought. You'll already have your practical vehicle.
Yeah.
So you got to start to build that fleet. All right. Now you're listening to the pregame. You're getting pumped. You're getting fired up. You got your headphones in. Okay. Tell us the top two or three songs on your playlist that you're listening to get you jacked for a game.
I like Dreams and Nightmares by, what is it? Meek Mill.
Okay.
Any Drake song that is kind of upbeat. And then this is kind of weird. It's not weird actually. Some type of just like instrumental song. It doesn't even have to have any words, like Zombie Nation or something like that. So just something that's like, I'm an upbeat type of guy, and just something with a lot of instrumental type songs. It'll get me juiced. Just like stadium music, but they'll play in the stadium.
You're gonna have to add some AC/DC to that list.
Yeah, Black. I respect that type. Absolutely.
Back in black,
obviously. So I'll definitely add those in too, because those are the type of songs that I listen to in the car. So I'll definitely be able to mix them in my pregame list.
All right, guys. And like we said before, those of you that are listening on the live stream, if you have any questions for Michael, just go ahead and put those in and we will get those over to him. Lucas said he's glad that you didn't pick Runza as your favorite fast food. So we make fun of Runza a lot.
Yeah, I bet.
We bag on Runza. I know a lot of people really like Runza, but we give them crap because they refuse to build in Iowa. So they donate a lot of money to Nebraska Athletics. Right. So we're obviously very against that. So
My mom actually makes like homemade Runzas.
Oh, nice.
I hate them.
Are they bad?
No, I just don't like Runzas in general. Like, she's a good cook. I just can't, like, they just don't taste right.
Does she put the cabbage in them? That stuff messes my stomach up. Kyle, have you ever had a Runza?
I have no idea what the heck you guys are talking about.
Yeah, don't.
No, like,
I mean, my wife is Czech, or Mexican, Spanish, Czech, Polish. So, like, I've experienced a lot of different things, but I've never even heard of a Runza. Explain it to me. What the heck is it?
Michael, you explain it.
Oh, God. It's like a combination of, like, a messy taco and a hot dog and a burger, but, like, they just do a horrible job of it. And it's, like, a super messy wrap that... It looks like a burrito in the tinfoil when you open it up, and then you take a bite out of it and you're like, what in the world is this? And it's just like a bunch of messy meat and some other like cabbage and stuff in it that personally hate.
I'm definitely going to look it up.
Yeah. If you want to be able to clear the room with some horrendous gas, put a few of those down, like the Swiss mushroom one or something.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad. Ari Gold says that cabbage, man, that'll put a hurting on you. And then Lucas says he'd like to see you drive that Corvette in the snow. So hopefully whatever hypothetical team you go to, maybe it's warm climate. You could rock that all the time, you know?
Yep.
Okay. And then he says, good thing you eat steak at Iowa. So, all right.
Thank God.
Yeah. All right, Michael. If you could
save big money on plant protection supplies, now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready-to-spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Star in any show that you've ever seen that you've loved, you like, oh, that'd be a fun show to be on. What would it be?
Any show, just like
anything.
Ever heard of Double Dare, Nickelodeon?
What'd you say?
He asked Dare? If you'd ever heard of the show Double Dare. I think that's a little before his time.
Probably too. Yeah, I have no idea. This is animated, but if I could star in Family Guy,
I'm getting old.
Okay,
that would be the funniest thing ever.
Family Guy, they'd make a character of you. People have done that. Okay, all right, I like that. So this next question, I feel like really tells you a lot about a person. Okay, I think you know. So be careful. Mm-hmm. Give us your pizza order when you're calling an order in a pizza. What are you putting on it?
Yep. So. I will not, you know what, I'm going to order multiple pizzas, and I'm going to first off go little creative. I'll go some sausage meat, even some vegetables or peppers on the pizza, just to, you know, really put some stuff on it. But then I'm going to order a cheese pizza on the side for the second one, just to stay safe if the other one doesn't taste very good and I can have a backup. But I also don't just want the cheese pizza. So,
okay. All right. Give us the best show you've watched in the last 6 months. What was something you binged that you were like, this is probably the best show I've ever seen?
Quarterback on Netflix. That was a good one.
Oh, okay. The documentary about Kirk Cousins and Pat Mahomes. Okay.
It was really cool to just kind of get a personal perspective on NFL players and quarterbacks. It's really cool. Yeah, I like it.
Okay. All right, guys. We are going to play a game here. Now, those of you guys that are watching right now, we want you to try this at home, and then we want you guys to send us your pictures, and we're going to upload them to our Twitter and our Facebook and everything. So, like, Ari, Lucas, I'm seeing in here, you guys have been the most participants, in here. South Bend Hawkeye, one of our favorites in here. We want you to get involved here too, guys. Now get a Sharpie and a piece of paper, okay? And we're going to, I'm going to put the timer on here and you guys are going to, we're going to see what you're made of, because this is not easy, okay? So we are, let me get this going here. Sorry, I should have had this prepared a little bit better. This is not, all right. Everybody is going to draw their best Tiger Hawk. We want to see Michael's best Tiger Hawk, being a new Hawkeye commit. One of the hardest logos for some reason to draw. One of the best, and it doesn't seem at first glance like, oh, that should be easy to draw. A little bit more difficult than you think. So you guys watching too, we want you to give this a try too. So we're going to take 30 seconds, and then we're going to go through and draw it. Are you guys ready?
Not really, but yeah.
This is going to be bad. All right, here we go. Go. 30 seconds. Those of you that are listening over podcast, I apologize. This is going to be a pretty boring 30 seconds here, but stick with us.
So is this just a Hawkeye?
Yeah, Tiger Hawk. Yep, just the Tiger Hawk logo.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see your peaky. I don't even have anything to look off of. I'm just drawing this from my head.
You can, here, look at the logo on my jacket if you need it.
Okay.
Okay, I got mine. Mine's terrible. They did this a few years ago with, like, Josie Jewell and some of the guys on the team, and it looked like blind people drew them. It was bad. That's not bad, Kyle. Okay.
Okay.
All right, not bad. Okay, that's decent too. Oh, this is way better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh,
all right, let me see. I'll show you guys mine.
Whoa.
Not good. I'd say, geez, Matt's is probably the best. Kyle's is pretty dang good too. All right, Michael. Let's see.
Oh, gosh.
No. All right, hold on. Let's go
right. This is all
awesome. Right, we're out of time. Let's see it.
All right, here. Let me just...
All right, that's pretty bad, buddy.
Yeah.
That's terrible. All right.
This is the first time. The mouth is so wide, so open.
Yeah.
The top jaw looks like it got.
Mary Jo said Matt's cheating.
Yeah.
What? So, I'll look to my right. I got logos, but otherwise I just threw it out, man.
Hey, yeah, definitely no tracing for sure. That
no.
That was not good. But again, that's like one of the hardest logos there is ever. So,
so bad.
It's all good, man. So you got a lot of time to practice, though. See, yeah. we're older and we still suck at it. So don't worry. And the good part is, I don't think that's part of the admission process to get into the University of Iowa. Because if it was, they probably wouldn't let very many people in. Well, not easy. All right, Michael, tell us about one of the biggest things. We're going to let you go after this, unless Matt and Kyle have any questions. But just being a student at Iowa. And being on campus doesn't even have to be football related, but what's one of the biggest, you can name a couple things, but some of the biggest things you're really looking forward to get into Iowa City next fall?
I'm just looking forward to, I know I'm going to be able to navigate the place easy coming in. I mean, it's a college campus, so it's not going to be like super easy, but I know how well, because it's a college town, I'll be able to be close to everything and not have to worry about, having to go somewhere far in order to have a good time or get anything accomplished. So I know that I'm glad that everything is kind of within the realm of where I'm at. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, like you said earlier, just the good food and just being able to go to a restaurant when I want to and just being a Hawkeye football player. I never would have thought growing up, I never would have thought this would happen. And like I said earlier, just staying consistent with your work and being open to opportunities that you have. And
All right.
Really looking forward to it.
Michael, who do you guys got this next Friday on your schedule?
We have Omaha Burke.
All right.
They are a beatable team, but can't overlook them, so I'm excited. We actually play on Thursday, so
nice.
We have a few Thursday games this year and this week. Yeah.
Are you at Burke or at Prep?
This is funny. This is a good one. Our home stadium is Burke. our home games are at Burke. We play Burke, and it's our home game. So they're playing at their home stadium, but it's an away game for them.
I thought you guys had a stadium.
No, we have a field that we practice on, but we don't have the enough room to build one yet. So
weird. Okay, I've gone to some games there, but maybe they just have like the like youth games and stuff like that. They don't actually have high school games there.
Yeah, I mean they have all the way. They play youth games, freshman, reserve, and JV games. So I mean they'll definitely have games there.
Okay,
varsity. Yeah, varsity plays at Burke.
Really, I did not know that. Okay. Well, I'm going to try to come up for your game on Thursday and watch you guys play. That's like a 5-minute drive for me, so I'm going to start
that'd
over.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be the one in the stands in the black and gold, so I'll stand out pretty quick.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, awesome.
All right, man. Well, hey, it was nice to meet you. We are looking forward to watching you grow as an Iowa Hawkeye over the next 4 to 5 years. And all of us here at Nebraska Hawks, we're going to be watching you and rooting you on the whole way, and we wish you nothing but success, man.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And, it's great to meet you guys. I'm happy to continue a relationship with you guys, and thank you for having me on.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, man. Yeah. Go Hawks, Michael.
Go Hawks. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks, buddy.
Yep.
See you, man. All right. That was awesome. It was great having him on. Michael Burt, future tight end at the University of Iowa. What a great kid.
Very nice.
Yeah. He's a great guy. So that's the type of guys that we were talking about, like on the last podcast, that, you know, we are really happy that we have guys like that, a part of the program. Ari Gold says the N logo on the Nebraska helmet stands for knowledge. See, yeah, that would have been a little bit of an easier one to draw just here. I could do that real quick for you. You want to here, I can do that for you right there. No. It's just like pretty simple to draw that one. Like we said, it always looks like a 5-year-old could draw the Nebraska logo. How you doing, Kyle? How you doing over there, man? And liking the sweatshirt. You're looking good.
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Just taking it all in, you know. It's hard for me to sit here and you know, Michael's going to be great. I get it. But like, I had so many things on my mind that I wanted to say, you know, cause I just remember being a freshman, you know, and going from that world of where, you know, high school, making the transition to my freshman year. I mean, it was a big, big wake up call. And, you know, I mean, gosh, I could talk for hours about it, but and the game is much different and the environment is much different from when I played. But, you know, it's brought back a lot of good memories. And, you know, I wanted to ask him, you know, some things, but it probably wouldn't be appropriate for the podcast.
maybe we can ask him some stuff offline. He's a great kid. Now, he's going to do great. Yeah. He's just very level headed, hard worker, and just the exact type of guy that we like to have in the program. So it's going to be nice to see him grow over the years. Just a great kid. And I'm definitely going to go up and see him play this Thursday. That's right up the street. So that should be not hard for me to be able to check out. Moving on to the game from yesterday. And so for those of you guys that are watching, like, why in the hell are these guys on tonight and not on Thursday night? We're still working out what exact night we're going to be doing this. So we have to have maybe a little pre-production meeting on how we're going to do this. But the Sunday night thing worked for Michael. So we've been wanting to have Michael on the podcast, with him being an Omaha kid and obviously being Nebraska Hawks, and as him going to Iowa, we really wanted to try to accommodate and have him on as soon as possible. So wanted to see what you guys thought about the game on Saturday. Matt was there and was able to see a lot of it firsthand. Iowa was able to win 41-10. Doesn't really feel like that score was indicative of what we saw on the field. Matt, what was your feelings watching that game?
Well, the first quarter was tough. I just remember putting my head in my hands quite a bit on watching the offense struggle and watching the defense struggle too. There was some big plays that they broke off on us that probably should have never happened. It was good to – we got that lightning delay. I feel like that actually might have helped get into the locker room and just rip some ass into those, you know, players. And
Yeah,
they came back, and you could tell, you know, they had some clearer minds and executed a little bit better. It was still rocky for the first half, and then the third quarter really we broke off and looked a lot better. So Cade looked a second off, it seemed like. He just wasn't quite on target 100%. He was a second behind a lot of those guys in those slant routes, and then when he would look at some of those far passes, you know, it looked like Nico was open a couple times and he threw to Vines instead into some coverage that he maybe shouldn't have. So yeah. I don't know, maybe he's trying to do too much and wants to win really bad, I know. So maybe that's some of it. He wants to get huge chunk plays rather than take, you know, 10 yards shorter with Nico and you get those touchdowns. But there's still some things to work on, definitely, on both sides of the ball. Special teams looked really good, so I was happy to see that. Torrey Taylor looked like he was what he was last year again, which, you know, he kind of struggled the last two games a little bit on a few punts too. So there were some good things too, some bad things. You know, this is what's good with Iowa football, is that they'll go into this week and try to correct a lot of those.
Yeah. I don't know, Kyle, what you were able to see. That was a good analysis, Matt. And that was great that you were able to go there with your son and, you know, experience that. And
even though Matt Patton, who just he's watching right now live, gave me a little hard time. I put my son in a black jersey because I don't have a cold one for him.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a lot of people that weren't.
Okay. And I saw that too. I was like, I'm a little disappointed Matt's not wearing his Nebraska Hawks Nest hat to the game. I was a little sad about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't, did I?
No, I was wondering.
I grabbed the hat off the top, and that was the last one I wore, so.
It's all good, buddy. All right, no, not a big deal. But, you know, Kyle, I don't know what your thoughts were from what you saw, but, you know, I didn't think Cade looked like he was on at all. He was 9 for 19 for 103 yards, 2 TDs, 2 interceptions. Like Matt said it perfectly. He was just, like, not in sync at all. He was late on everything. This year just has not got off to the start that we were really hoping to, Kyle.
No, I mean, I agree with everything. It was definitely a super slow start. I mean, Cade, he did look a little off, you know, but Matt, or, you know, what you said about, you know, maybe the lightning delay was a blessing in disguise, because, you know, while that sucks to delay the game and, you know, all that stuff, I guarantee when they got into that locker room, the coaches, you know, after you get to see, like, you know, that first quarter and how things are playing out. It's like, guys, we're playing Western Michigan. What the heck? What the heck is going on? And they, you know, saw that as a chance to clean things up and pump up the team. I mean, that's kind of, you know, I guess, again, a blessing in disguise for what they were able to, you know, because the difference when they came back out was a lot different. But, you know, I was watching the game. It was kind of a hybrid, like watching it on my phone, and then like my connection would go out, and then I'd have to watch the ticker on ESPN and blah, 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 or Fox Sports. And, you know, it's very frustrating, because what I see and what I'm in my head, I'm thinking, guys, this is Western Michigan, and we're only up 7-0, you know, and it's
we were down 7-0. We were down 7-0.
Yeah, at the very beginning. And, you know, I look at that stuff, and, you know, that stuff like that doesn't bother me in the first quarter. But when we're not you know, picking things up, or at least, you know, gaining some sort of momentum in the second quarter, that's when I'm like, okay, what the heck is going on? But then, you know, I check back and bam, 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 the score's going up. It's unnecessary, especially when I'm looking at the scoreboard and it says Iowa versus Western Michigan. If it were Iowa versus Ohio State, I'd be totally fine with it. But, you know.
Yeah, no, I feel you. And with Ari asks if it's a broken leg. I don't know that they've announced for sure what it is. Usually at Kirk's Tuesday presser, he'll break that out and tell us what exactly it is. Drew says, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Penn State has only played the Children of the Corn so far, only got a 30-13 win over Illinois, goes to 5 turnovers. The Hawks won't do that Saturday. I like Drew's approach on that. You know, that's a positive way to look at it. It's just this season, I don't know why, and maybe it's just me, and you guys, you know, tell me, put me in my place. I just haven't had the fire and have not been excited about it. I felt like we had a little bit of a rebirth with getting Cade and, you know, getting Eric All and, you know, Caleb Brown, some of these guys in, and like, okay, you know, this is going to be different. And, you know, the offense has been better, but not a lot better. Like, you know, it's better, but the offensive line got shoved all over the field. Like, you know, we're playing Western Michigan boys and our offensive line still not looking great at times. Like, I'm a little worried about that, Matt. I don't know what you saw or what everybody in the stands was saying, but like, from my perspective, I was not impressed with the offensive line again.
Yeah, there were some struggles keeping Cade protected. He had some hurries, some sacks. So there's some struggles there. Western Michigan, those boys up front did look big. You know, Cade was right. They came hard and came fast.
Yeah. And
we struggled picking them up every time. They didn't look terrible there, but there's definitely shortened time. That's for sure. As far as Luke Lachey goes, it almost looked like a broken ankle to me. But
yeah. 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 I mean, the way it was hanging off to the side, it did not look good. So, no. I mean, I'm not going to call anything. I'd be shocked if he was back this year. I'd be surprised. But, you know, hopefully we wish him the best. Obviously, we love the guy. Great player. But, you know, at least, you know, knock on wood, it's early enough in the season he can redshirt and come back and play next year. If that's the problem. Yeah,
redshirt and
yeah,
have to sit out this season. That's the way it kind of looked to me.
I like Ari said Cade's first rushing attempt looked like an injured C.J. Beathard running down the field. It sure did. That was very, very, very similar. And then Matt says no better time for the offense to hit its stride against, you know, Penn State. I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. Again, being an Iowa fan and having, you know, that, you know, proven or guilty until proven innocent type of mentality, it's like I want to see you guys do it. Yeah, I need to see it. Like, let's put something out there. And I, you know, you got to think, you know, was, you know, Cade being injured part of the problem? You know, was that something that, you know, in fall camp, them not getting enough reps, like to be able to work together quite enough? And that was the whole point of them going out to California to go to that camp, you know, to work together, that they were going to work through a lot of these things. But I just, you know, we're not seeing it right now. Things still look out of sync when they're out there. It just does not look smooth whatsoever. So, and again, I wasn't impressed with the offensive line whatsoever. I don't know when or if we're ever going to get that figured out, but you know, we haven't played real great competition so far. Iowa State's not a good football team and we barely beat them. You know, Western Michigan,
Ohio.
Yeah. They lost Ohio. Did you guys see that video of Matt Campbell going after that guy? Yeah,
they did. That was pretty entertaining.
That tells me
too bad.
Yeah. I don't know what you tell really me. Is. What do you think about that, Kyle? I mean, that tells you right there that Coach Campbell's really frustrated because that is not the guy that we've all seen.
Well, I'm on both sides here. Like, I get it. That fan, like, he needs to be punched in the I'm sorry. He needs to be punched in the face. He really does. You know, like, I mean, that's just no fan should, if you call yourself a fan, you shouldn't be doing that stuff. No matter who's in charge, no, you know, if you want to say that you are a big time fan, like, you should not be doing that, especially traveling to away game. Like, you should support your team 100%, no matter what. I get it though. You know, him saying that to Campbell and the post in the video, that little grin that he had on his face. I mean, gosh, guys, I wanted to beat the shit out of that guy, even though it was for Iowa State. You could see the attitude in the players in the background walking up. I mean, they were beat up. I just feel bad as a former player myself. Like, I've experienced that, man. Like, it's bad. It really is. It sucks. You have to live with that and then figure out how to fix it the next week. And you know that the fans and the press and everybody is back there, like, trying to guess everything, and it's just really bad. But I will say this. Coach Campbell, you know, he should eat it. He really should, because I know Coach Ferentz would. Have you ever seen Coach Ferentz? Like, you know, I guarantee Coach Ferentz takes that kind of criticism when he's running off the field. You just can't hear it. You don't catch it on social media. He's had people yell that stuff to him, and he just eats it, you know, because he knows that that person can't do anything to affect what happens on the inside of that program, what happens behind closed doors. You know, of course, that was a frustrating loss for Iowa State. And again, I love watching Iowa State lose. It's great. I love it.
But so do
things I. Things like this get me, you know, when I see things like that, their own fans doing things like that, that gets me a little, that gets me pretty pissed off, actually. I'm pretty, pretty frank about it.
I think Ari's got a great point here, too. It's like Campbell had a shot, like.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Your name was like the hottest name in coaching, and you had ample opportunity to get out of Ames. And like, you know, were you flirting with a lot of jobs and you took your eye off the prize? I don't get what happened at Iowa State, because Campbell's a good coach, clearly, but like they're Iowa State's back to being Iowa State. And, you know, he put a lot of lipstick on that pig and had them looking a lot better than they actually were for quite a long time. And they're slipping back into their, you know, their typical self. So, yeah, which is, I don't know. It's
he did
weird.
Lose a lot of players on the whole gambling deal too. So he's dealing with a lot of adversity in that program.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. And of course, Matt Campbell's name has been popping around for that Michigan State job, which again, like with the struggles that he's had, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be doing there, but yeah, that's interesting altogether. But yeah, when you're a fan like that, when I was watching that, I just thought to myself, thank God that wasn't a Hawkeye fan, because I'm sure Iowa State fans on their message boards are ripping that guy apart. Like,
oh yeah, I hope
you know you did that, which was stupid, and then you posted it. Like, that's not being a good fan. You know, that's not. And we'll call out the coaches and give them crap and stuff like that. But like,
sure.
To publicly humiliate like that, you know, when he's coming out, was he coming out from halftime?
In front of your colleagues like that?
I think it was the end of the game.
Was that the end?
They're headed to the bus, it looked like.
No, because he said give them hell or something like that, like they were going back out on the field. Like,
maybe it was halftime then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like they were heading back into the locker room either at halftime or at the end of the game. That's what it looked like to me.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But whatever.
Okay. Matt, did you hear any Fire Brian chants in the stands?
I guess I didn't notice any personally. There were, you know, a few little boos, but they were pretty short and not, I mean, at the beginning of in that first quarter, but I didn't really hear anything more than that.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, guys, like, I don't know, I might have my head up my ass on this, you know, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't know what it is about this season, but I haven't been excited. I haven't been as fired up as I normally am. I'm like, man, do I need to go to the doctor or something? Like, I'm usually so jacked every Friday night before an Iowa game that like, I don't sleep quite as well, 'cause I'm so pumped. And this year I don't know, Matt, like, do you, and, you know, Kyle, I feel like Kyle, you know, being a former player, he's not the super fan, you know, the super fanatic, and he's a lot more level-headed about it. But Matt, are you as jacked this year as normal? Are you pretty consistent, or are you a little burned out with all of it too?
I'm pretty consistent. I'm excited for the season that to be here. A little less excited about Iowa football after season these last three games, but I think, you know, we do develop players and we do get better as the season goes on. So I'm a little cautiously optimistic on the rest of the season. So I'm hoping everything gets ironed out and players play. So
my frustration with it is, you know, I'm always going to be a diehard Hawk fan, you know, and we all go through our ups and downs of fandom. And over the years, you know, we're a little bit more intense than we normally are. See, my like low turn is probably still higher than a lot of people's peaks as a diehard fan. But it's similar to with the men's basketball program. And again, I'm just kind of putting myself out there and being honest with you guys. I feel like it's the same thing and the same product every single year. And, you know, you get fired up, you have expectations, and you think, okay, maybe we're going to have an 11-win season and we might make, you know, Big Ten championship, or this might be the year we break free. And then it's like the season starts and then you're like, nope, right back to what we've been every single year. And it's the same shortcomings and the same frustrations. And I'm sure every fan base in America is going through the same type of things, but I just, it's really kind of stolen my, what's the word I'm looking for? My mojo with the whole thing. I'm just not as fired up as I used to be. Get me fired up, guys. Tell me something. Crickets.
I mean, from my perspective, I 100% agree with you. I'm 100% like everything you just said is exactly, but you know, for me, being a former player, yeah, of course I have a different perspective. I know what they're doing behind the scenes. I empathize with what, you know, what's happening when they go back into that locker room and, you know, prepare for the next week of practice. And,
yeah,
you know, all I can say really, since I'm so far removed from it now, the game's different. Coach Ferentz is still there. I get it. Like, you know, you could talk about changing up the coaching staff and Coach Ferentz needs to retire, blah, 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 all that stuff. You know, I equate this to Premier League soccer, and I know that this is completely different, but like my favorite team, Manchester United, has gone through, I think six managers since, and a manager is the equivalent of the head coach in Premier League soccer. Five or six managers in the last, 5 or 6 years, maybe a little bit more since 2014, I think. And before that, they had one of the longest tenured winningest coaches in our managers in Premier League history, Sir Alex Ferguson. I mean, you can look it up. I mean, the guy's, he's a god. He really is. He was literally knighted. And, you know, every year, every time they get a new manager, they think that, like, there's going to be, you know, like this new, oh, gosh, we're going to, you know, there's all these predictions and stuff. And it always ends up being the same product. And what I've concluded from that is it comes down to the players on the field. Like you could have the best coaches on the field, you know, on the sidelines, calling the plays, best week of preparation, blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to game time, if those players, and then you can blame the coaches by not having them ready to play, but all that stuff, but they're ready. Come on. Are you kidding me? It's Division I football. They're not messing around. But if those players aren't executing on the field, their job, you know, like it's gotta be a frustrating thing. Like if I could sit down and have a beer with Coach Ferentz, and then sit down and have a beer with like Dallas Clark or like, you know, an actual player and try to get those two perspectives on like, you know, when we were having a bad game, what Coach Ferentz's perspective was, and what the player's perspective was. They're, not again, your team is only as good as the players on the field executing the plays, you know, like that's it.
Yeah. So. No, it's, you know, and Drew brings up some good points here, Drew Shipley, that, you know, and this might, I'm being fully transparent. This might be me just being a crab ass and, you know, I need to pull my head out of my butt and be a better fan. You know, that's very possible. This might be just some weird thing I'm going through. I just, for some reason this season, I just got so fired up and so excited. And then when I saw the product on the field, I was just kind of like, same thing. You know, it's, you know, the offense is improved and I think we've taken some steps forward and Kate is definitely a big upgrade. And he, you know, he asks, you know, what result this season would satisfy us? You know, I would say with that schedule that we have, you know, again, I might be a little high on this, but 10 wins, at least 10 to 11 wins and a Big Ten conference championship game appearance. I mean, that is my expectations based upon our schedule. I don't know, Matt, like what would you say your expectations would be this season?
Yeah, I'm definitely 10-2, 11-1. As far as the drive to 325, like he was saying, Beth's the new AD, Beth, she's already said that was a dumb thing to put in the contract. So I don't even know if that's going to matter come the end of the year. So I guess I'm not really focused on that. I'm just focused on watching the product on the field and winning football games, which we are. We're winning them. There's definitely things that look similar to last year, but there's also a lot of improvements. Our defense hasn't looked as good as last year. It's looking better now than it did the first two games, but
yeah.
There were some definite miscues against Western Michigan, which it's kind of frustrating to see that against Western Michigan. You know, you expect to come out there, have total control of that football game and win it without any issues. So,
well, on top of it too, like, you know, I know that, you know, what did they only put up 10 points? Should have been probably 17, but they were throwing the ball downfield on us.
Yeah.
You know, they were moving the ball. Like, the defense hasn't looked as good as it has in the past. The offensive line has struggled. Cade and the receivers haven't been flowing like we had hoped. Like, we're, you know, and I know that we're a developmental program and it's a work in progress. You know, we're, you know, hopefully get better as the season goes on. But if there's not some significant improvements going into next week at a wideout at Penn State, I think we're going to get shellacked. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, guys?
What do you think, Kyle?
I mean, you know, it's I like that word, getting shellacked. you know, it's I don't know, but I kind of want to hear your perspective first, Matt, before I. It's one of those things where, like, I have a feeling I'll elaborate better if I hear what you have to say.
Honestly, I don't think Penn State's looked as good as what everybody was saying they are. They are ranked in the top 10, so they're definitely a good football game. There's some keys in that football program that I think we can target to help us with, but our defense definitely needs to be on its top to slow that offense down. I haven't watched a ton of Penn State football, but to see if our offense has a chance against that defense. Our O-line definitely needs to protect better, and that'll help a lot of everything else connect. So,
yeah.
Well, dude, I mean, like, I would have just been like, we just need to kick field goals and we'll be good.
Hey. Well, no, we did. Drew Stevens did miss a field goal in that 41.
He did. He did. Yeah.
What happened there, Kyle? Yeah. Kyle, what happened on that one?
Ah, you know what, man, I'm not, you know, like, if I could have a direct line to Drew and really pick his brain. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I missed, I think I, in the 3 years that I was a starting kicker, I think that I missed like, I don't know, 14 field goals out of 54 or something like that. Kicked a lot, didn't miss that many, but you know, that's a tough subject when you're asked, hey, what happened? Because, you know, I loved my guys blocking and my guys snapping and my guys holding so much that, you know, we're a team. And if we're a team unit, and if something goes wrong, if one thing goes wrong, we all went wrong. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Right. I think there were only a couple times where I blatantly, I think I only shanked one field goal. It was at Indiana. That was just a shit show of a game too. And I think, you know, that was like my first shank of my college career, and it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
It literally went like 30 yards to the left, I think.
like Ari said on that field goal, man, that wasn't even close. Like, that was something had to have gone wrong in that whole process. Yeah. So.
You got to remember, guys, like, you got to remember, like, Drew, any kicker at the Division I level, guys, we've kicked probably 500, 600 field goals before that game. I mean, there's, you know, like, there's thousands of reps that happen. So yes, I would agree with you. Something went wrong. I used to sit and analyze film for 30 minutes, and I would just frame by frame look at every little thing that went wrong. And my holder, if the laces weren't out, if they were sideways, you know, like, he would, you know, there was little responsibilities everywhere. Oh geez, I missed that block here. You know, like, oh, that contributed to this. You know, like, there's always going to be little things, but ultimately it's up to me. It's up to the person there that's you know, there to do the job, kick the field goal. You should be good enough to be able to put it through those uprights from any distance, any hash, any whatever, any circumstance. You're a Division I kicker, so there's really no excuse for it.
Matt, do you feel like that watching the team out on the field this year, that they're not really coming out with the fire and the pizzazz that they have in years past? Or is that just something that, I don't know, that maybe, again, I have my head up my butt on this one and I'm just not seeing it. I don't feel like I'm seeing on the field the aggression and the swag that we see from these guys, especially on defense. But I don't know. I feel like I'm not seeing that electricity that we've seen in years past.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's there. I didn't really pay that close attention to the sidelines, but I feel like the guys, when they are coming out of the tunnel, they look pretty fired up, pretty ready to play. even though they did struggle a little bit right off.
Yeah.
Maybe there is something a little bit to that more, but I don't know if that's a problem.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to see if I can get my act together and clean up my attitude, because I'm the Debbie Downer right now. I just don't know, like, what – I don't know what the deal is. Maybe I just need to, like, clean it up and do better.
Well, I'll admit. I mean, I know exactly what you're feeling. You know, like, we want the success of the Ohio State. So we want that consistent week in, week out, just absolute thromping, you know, of other teams. Like, there's no question. There's literally no question. All we can do is focus on is partying, you know, instead of worrying about what kind of offense we're going to bring to the table, what kind of, you know, penalties we're going to have. I get it, man. Like, it's, I'm thinking of it too, but you know, what you're saying is that, but also what you're saying is nothing's going to break your passion for Hawkeye football. I mean, you know, we're like puppies, man, that wake up and we have new owners. We're going to love them no matter what, you know, and,
it's true.
You know, it's going to be great. True. And at the end of the day, you know, we're going to, you know what I mean?
Well said. That was well said, man. I mean, you couldn't have said, you know, it more, like, perfect.
You could. I'm sorry. One last thing. Hawkeye football could punch me in the face and kick me in the balls 1,000 times, and I'll still wake up the next morning and be in love with them.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So a story on that. I had a dentist appointment in 2013 when we had, what was that, a 4-8 season, I think. And the dentist was a U of I grad, and I walk in with my Hawkeye zip up. I'm ready, you know. And she goes, "Ooh, you are a diehard fan. You're still wearing that stuff around." And I'm like, "I'm never not going to wear it. Doesn't matter how bad we are or how good we are. It's we're Hawkeye fans through and through, and that's just what we're going to be."
Yeah, that's again, that very well said, Matt. And that's the way I'm going to be too. I mean, if we get our asses kicked on Saturday, I'm still going to wear Hawkeye stuff all week. Like, regardless, it's who I am. I mean, I have a giant Tiger Hawk tattoo on the side of my leg. Yeah, I'm not hiding from it. There's no way that I'm ever walking away. Yeah.
Take a moment to think how those players feel too. Like, when there's a big loss, you know, even a close loss, like, and an embarrassing loss, like, those guys are the ones that have to, like, you know, figure out what's wrong and go back to the drawing table. And plus, and we're thinking about you guys, we're thinking about all the fans out there. And then they have to go and deal with punk kids at class who do nothing but give them crap all day, knowing that they're a Hawkeye football player and that they just lost their picture and profiles all over the social media, as well as the local press citizen. And, you know, like, it's a tough thing to deal with. It really is.
Well, talking about something that's an important deal.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to pick right now who we think's going to win this week's games. And this week is sponsored by.
Oh, yeah.
She's back. Candles by Candy. Bring in a new fall collection. Pumpkin spice lice. In a candle that you can burn this holiday season. Pumpkin spice lice. If she just, like, goes above the candle and shakes it out of her head, or what she does.
Oh, yeah.
Candles by Candy. It just, the pumpkin spice lice and everything nice. Candles are available right now. So let us know if you want a candle for this holiday season. I mean, it's kind of, we're creeping into the holiday season, you know. It's got Halloween right around the corner. Fall is here, and Candy is just cranking out those candles.
Oh, yeah.
Really excited about that. So I'll make sure I got some shipped to me. My wife won't let me burn them because she thinks there's actual lice in them. So if you guys want, I'll ship some to you. You can try it. Maybe try burning them outside. Might keep the bugs away. Sorry, Candy. We're just kidding. All right, guys. We got Penn State favored by 10.5 on this one. Sponsored again by Candles by Candy.
I got 14 now.
You got 14.
14 minus 14.
Okay. I had 10.5, so maybe it changed from when I looked it up. So who are you guys taking in this one? Let's start with the Miller Lite Delight. Do you think the Hawks are going to cover? Do you think they're going to win this one? Or do you think Penn State's just going to roll through on the whiteout?
I have a feeling this is going to come down to the wire. I don't know. I don't think Penn State's going to cover that. So I'm going to take Iowa in it with the points. I don't know if we're going to win it, but, you know, that game's always close. You know, in the last whatever years with Kirk Ferentz as coach playing Penn State, you know, we've struggled with them recently in the last 5, more so than we did in the beginning. But, I'm going Iowa. I'm not really sure if we're going to pull this one off or not, being a whiteout at night in Happy Valley.
Yeah. So you're,
but it will be close.
You're taking State Penn in this one?
I'm not like maybe if you were doing straight up off the line, but I'm taking Iowa off the spread.
Okay. So you think Penn State's going to win, but they're not going to cover?
Possibly. Yeah.
Please.
I mean, I want to take Iowa in this all the way, but I just, it's going to, you know, could come down to a field goal at the end with Penn State winning. It could come down to Iowa with a field goal, us winning, but
yeah,
I'm taking Iowa with the spread.
Okay. Drew brings up a good point too, having the unrealistic expectation to be as good as last year. We did lose a lot up there, so that's a valid point, Drew. Totally, totally agree with you. And then Ken says he was born in Ames 64 years ago today. Happy birthday, Kent. Still a Hawkeye fan, even though he was born in enemy territory. So that's awesome. All right, Kyle, who are you taking in this one, man? We got, you said 13.5. Penn State?
14 points.
14. Okay, sorry about that. So, Kyle, who are you taking in this one? Penn State or?
Screw those points, man. I was going to win. You know, I'm you guys know me by now. I'm very straightforward. I don't, you know, it's going to be a hard-fought battle. I don't think it's going to be lopsided. I think it's going to be hard. While they'll, you know, probably will never be another game like the 6-4 game at Penn State. But, you know, that one was very unique, but I do think this is going to be hard fought battling and the Hawks are going to come out on top and they're going to have a nice long, awesome dark flight home, back from Pennsylvania.
All right. I like
very happy, happy, happy flight.
Happy That's flight good. From Happy Valley.
I hope so.
Yep.
I hope so. Well, see, you know, now looking at it from this perspective too, like Penn State hasn't really played anyone. I mean, they beat West Virginia. Some would say they shellacked them. Delaware, Illinois. Illinois turned the ball over, like we talked about earlier, a ton of times. Illinois lost a lot, too. They're not what they were last year. So they haven't really been tested. So, you know, we can't anoint Penn State at all. I think you guys are right. I think this is going to be closer than what we think. And I'm going to believe in Kyle. Just when Kyle talks and he picks the games, he fills me with so much positivity, and that's what I needed in my life right now. So I am going to hopefully, optimistically, I think the Hawks are going to pull this one out, but I think it's going to be by a field goal. I think it's going to be down to the wire. It's going to be a slobber knocker, and I think the Hawks are going to pull it out. I feel it in my bones. Feel it in my plums.
Safety.
In your plums. Yep.
In my plums. I can feel it down in my mound of my plums. All right. Yep. Yeah. Yep. It could be field goal or safety. I'd be totally fine with it. I think Iowa fans don't really care, you know, what we win by. As long as we pull out the victory in this one, I don't think anybody cares. Matt says he's predicting Hawks are going to win by a million. Well, we'll have to crank up the offense if we're going to do that, Matt. You know, it's, so it's Ari Gold's putting out some betting lines here for us to take a look at.
Oh, wow.
And see, Kyle, you fill us with positivity with those picks. So you got Ari pumped up. I mean, he threw down like 6 comments in a row here. So you're injecting the fan base with positive energy. So guys, just to let you know, we will not be on this Thursday. We'll be taking that off since we came on tonight. And then we will be letting you know as soon as possible when we will be having another podcast. But boys, it was great talking to Michael Burt. That was a lot of fun.
It was. Good kid.
Yeah, he's a good kid. Ari's saying the Hawks are going to win this one too, 22-21. I think we'd all be happy with that. I was going to ask you guys before we log off here, did you see how pissed off Brian Ferentz was getting with Cade McNamara on the sideline? He was chewing his ass, like flipped out, threw his headset on the ground, like absolutely furious with him. Did either one of you guys see that?
I didn't see
that, but what
I just heard about
what do you think was going on?
You know, he was just Cade kept missing throws. He was missing throws and he was late on things. They were talking about on the broadcast that he was like double clutching the ball. And Matt had mentioned that earlier, like where he was just like pumping the ball and it was like he was waiting for the receiver to progress through his route too much, and that the defense was able to make adjustments and figure it out, you know, and get, you know, get to the receiver sooner. And he was missing guys, you know, so I'm not sure why he was hesitant, why he was, you know, doing what he was doing and, you know, struggling like he was. It was interesting. I don't feel like we've seen that out of him yet, but, you know, this is our first year with Cade, and, you know, we're going to see some ups and some downs, and he definitely just did not play as well Saturday as we thought he was going to, or as well as he has. He's been throwing some more picks lately. Right.
You know, almost like receivers would get open and then he'd throw the ball after they got open, and then the defense would close in on it, and that's where a lot of those interceptions came from. Like, he wouldn't throw those into those routes soon enough.
Yeah. Ari says Brian's immature. I don't know that he's immature. I think Brian is just so much more passionate and fiery than his dad is. And if his dad's that way, he does a great job of keeping it locked down. But Brian is just wired very differently than his dad.
Yeah. Well, I do know that it takes quite a bit for them to, in front of the TV cameras, you know, in front of the fans, to explode like that on a player. You know, but the one thing that came to mind was, I do know that, you know, any football coach out there, no matter what level you're at, I mean, if you make like repeated mistakes over and over and over again, even after they've been, you know, who knows what went down, but for Brian to react like that, I mean, it had to have been something that maybe they possibly discussed before the game, you know, like had an agreement about, hey, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And he did it. And, you know, I mean, again, ultimately, it's the players on the field. The coaches really can't control exactly what they do on the field at all times. There's that 6 to 7 seconds when the ball is hiked to when the whistle is blown. Like, there's some improbability there, you know. Like, there's things that you could have the play set and the scheme right and all that stuff, but there's some improbability there that you have to deal with. So,
well, I'm hoping, too, that, you know, Matt and I are going to be going to the Michigan State game. I was able to score some tickets, and I'm hoping stepping foot into Kinnick might, you know, get my heart right with the world and get me back in the right spot with my Hawkeye fandom. So, you know, with Kyle's positivity and his game picking, and then, you know, Matt taking me to Kinnick, like, that might pull me out of the funk. Yeah, a little bit of a Hawkeye slump I'm in right now, so just – feeling unexcited about things right now. So I need to get my act together and change my perception a little bit. So I think, you know, hearing comments from other people too helps.
You need to go back and watch like the 02 highlight film, maybe the 04 highlight film, and that'll get you pumped up, man.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Watch some of those highlight films. That might help me. I wonder if there's a Kyle Schlicker highlight video out there kicking field goals. If there's not, somebody do that. I don't have the technological capabilities to do it, but I'm sure there's somebody out there that's just like an editing wizard, and they're like, yep, we're going to get to it. That'd be awesome. Love that. All right, boys, let's get the win this Saturday. Let's have some fun and make it not so happy Valley. All right.
Let's go Hawks.
Let's go Hawks.
Go Hawks.